الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Alhamdulillah, it's through the infinite grace, through the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's allowed us to come to perform Jumu'ah Salah. One narration mentions, الصلوات الخمس مكفرات ما بينهن, that the five times daily salah that we have, they're a means to expiate, to remove the sins which we commit in between. وَالْجُمُعَةُ إِلَى الْجُمُعَةُ وَرَمَضَانُ إِلَى رَمَضَانُ. From one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, and from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. Meaning the performance of one from the previous, our minor sins are forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a tawfiq to continue performing our salah, our Jumu'ah salah in congregation, time and time again. Ameen. I want to take you on a bit of a journey. You know, just imagine, you know, 14 centuries ago, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there was a time where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were expelled from their homes. They were compelled to leave Mecca. In Mecca, they had to hide their iman. They weren't able to express themselves. Other than the odd few, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhum, who expressed his iman and the Meccans, they attacked him. Other than the odd few, the majority, overwhelming majority, hid their iman during the time of Mecca. Now they were compelled, they were forced to leave their homes from Mecca and migrate to Medina. Now within 10 years, the conquest of Mecca takes place, meaning 8th year after Hijrah, the conquest of Mecca takes place. And within 10 years, almost the entire Arabian Peninsula is conquered. Within 10 years. But despite that, this is at a time wherein the verse is revealed, الْيَوْمَ يَئِسَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ دِينِكُمْ فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنَ. That today, the disbelievers have become despondent. They've lost hope of your religion. Commentators mention that in damaging. They could not damage our religion. And when they say damage, they couldn't change the aspects of Islam. Islam had become unique. Meaning in Mecca, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were in Mecca, the verses that were being revealed were more tawheed related. They were more to do with aqaid, they were more to do with beliefs. What we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the Meccans, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they ascribed partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verses were there to question that, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ, etc. That when you ask them that who created the skies and the earth, they will say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But alongside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they ascribed partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verses that were revealed in Mecca, they were more to do with tawheed, imaniyat, aqaid, beliefs related. However, in Medina, the verses of ahkam, commands were revealed in Medina. Now, as they were returning to Mecca, while the conquest that was taking place, this verse was revealed that the disbelievers have now lost hope in your faith. Meaning Islam has become distinct. We have a different way of life in comparison to when they left Mecca as they are now returning. So, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنَ. Now remember, this is a significant point. That the believers had now increased. Iman, the numbers of the believers were burgeoning. In numbers, we were increasing exponentially. Now this verse is being revealed of فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنَ. Do not fear them, but fear me. Allah is saying to them, do not fear them, but fear me. Just imagine, I want you to think. The Sahaba left Mecca. They were minimal in number. Very, very less in number. They were now returning large in number. The conquest of Mecca has taken place. Almost the entire peninsula conquered. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reinforcing, do not fear them, but fear me. Meaning, remain steadfast on the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the fear of what others will say or what others will do in our regard. Meaning there are two fears, psychologically and physically. Previously, when they were in Mecca, they were small in number, trivial in number. So, psychologically, you would be concerned what everybody else thinks about you because you're very few in number. You're a minority. Two, physically, you don't have the support. You're minimal. As Abu Ghifar radiallahu anh, when he proclaimed the kalima, they began to attack him. As he expressed the kalima, the kuffar, the disbelievers, came and attacked him. So two things. Number one, psychologically, and number two, physically. They were low, they were small in number, so they were fearful. Now Islam, the ahkam were revealed, meaning we now understand what we believe, not just in beliefs we're different, but our actions we differ. And two, we were large in number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reinforcing, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنَ. Do not fear them, but fear me. And what the commentators actually mention, فِي اتِّبَاعِ نَبِي صَلَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Do not fear them in following me, in following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, today I have completed for you your religion. Now, this is profound. I'll give an example of this. That one Jew came to Umar radiallahu anhu and he said, عِندَكَ آيَةٌ there's a verse in your Qur'an, لَوْ نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْنَا لَتَّخَذْنَا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ عِيدًا. You have a verse in your Qur'an. If that verse were to be revealed to us, we would take that day as a day of celebration, a day of Eid. We'd celebrate that day. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked Mahir, what is that verse? And he mentioned this, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. That today for you, your religion is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that for you, today I have completed your religion for you. Islam is complete. In every era, in every place, Islam remains relevant to us. And one of the commentators mentioned that the religion being free of faults and incompletion. That you know, somebody doesn't feel confident in their faith because they don't know what they believe. They can't defend themselves, meaning they believe that their beliefs are irrational. I'll give an example. I was just traveling a few weeks ago. I was on my way to London with somebody else, near London, for the youngsters in Jamaat. We had a few youngsters. So we were on our way, and I was just talking to him, and he was mentioning that in the workplace, he was trying to... Others were questioning his beliefs. So he was defending himself by saying, look, we believe in Islam, and we believe in things that we can't explain. So I said to him, what do you mean by you believe in that which you can't explain? And he said that, you know, we believe in things that they just the phenomenon that can't be explained, meaning they're beyond comprehension. So I said to him, are you trying to say that we can't rationally defend ourselves? He's like, yeah. He goes, like, we can't explain. I said, of course we can. Yes, we believe in the unseen, but everything we believe can be defended. Rationally, everything that we believe can be defended. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Upon clear evidences, عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. Upon clear evidences. So the belief that there are, in Islam, there are those things which are irrational, it does not comply, it's not congruent with our religion. It doesn't comply with our religion. It doesn't align with Islam. Everything we believe is with evidence. Yes, it may not be in accordance, everything might not be seen. There'll be the unseen, there'll be rational. There are not just one, it's not just purely empirical, not everything that we can see, but rather there will be. We can defend ourselves using rational arguments. So, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Fatihah mentions two things. One, that the religion is free of faults, it's flawless. Number two, it's complete. Reasons why people have this inferiority complex or why they feel as though they're not confident, they can't embrace their faith, is the fact that they feel that they can't defend themselves. I mentioned, عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. We are upon clear evidences. We've got 14 centuries of scholarship defending our beliefs. You look at our books, and when they talk, when they discuss, it comes from a purely rational perspective. They bring verses, but when they establish and they corroborate and substantiate our positions, it's through rational and logical evidences. So again, going back to that point of فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْمْ. So during this context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, do not fear them, but fear me. Why? We are a fearless nation. Irrespective of what others think of us, what others may do to us, we uphold, we embrace, and we uphold our Muslim identity. Irrespective of what others say. I'll give you an example. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when wahi first began, when revelation first began, he immediately went to Khadija radiallahu anha. Zamilu, can you cover me? And Khadija radiallahu anha was there supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, consoling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Khadija radiallahu anha, being an intelligent woman, mentioned and gave the counsel of going to Waraqa bin Nawfal. So who was well versed in the Christian tradition. So Waraqa bin Nawfal mentioned several things. Of them he mentioned that you are now a prophet, and you're going to experience what the prophets before you experienced, meaning your people are going to reject you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, shocked by this, remember wahi had just begun, he's not experienced any rejection yet. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was loved amongst his people. He was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin. He was known as the truthful, the trustworthy individual. He was accepted amongst his people. So he said in response, "Awa mukhriji yahum," that my people are going to reject, my people are going to expel me. It was a shock to him. "Awa mukhriji yahum," that my people are going to reject me, that my people are going to expel me. That is pertinent for us. That irrespective of, you know, we're not going to have the position that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had in amongst his people. As-Sadiq al-Amin, never lied, always truthful. A position everybody accepted, even his detractors in front of the opposing armies would mention that he has never lied. Imagine that. But despite that, the situation was unraveling, he mentioned, "Awa mukhrijiyahum," my people are going to expel me. And this is why it's pertinent for us, that irrespective of what others tell us about our religion, whether it's the politicians coming for our votes, whether it's the media spreading propaganda, whether it's celebrities grasping for fame, we uphold our identity. Throughout every generation, throughout every era, you always have those people who we refer to as the Lahabites. Abu Lahab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had him as an opposition. He was the opposition. He had him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was he? He was an accepted person in society. Yet they still, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam have to endure? What did he have to persevere through? What torment and torture did his sahaba radiallahu anhum have to endure? The boycott that they experienced, expelled from Makkah, having to migrate to Medina because of the persecution in Makkah. Just imagine that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an accepted person in his community. He was accepted. Yes, they now refer to him as a madman. They couldn't refer to him as a liar because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was truthful and all had accepted that. Yet this reminds us of our situation. In our situation, that no matter what, in every situation, there will always be those people that will be detractors. There will be the Islamophobes in every society. But we, in every situation, uphold and embrace our identity. Our Islam, what does Islam teach us in every situation? We have the seal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we embrace that. What did the Sahaba radiallahu anhum do in these situations? How do we make Islam the al-thaqafatul islamiyya, the Islamic civilization, when we flourished, how do we become that? You know, let's define this. That, you know, what is a phobia? A phobia is an irrational fear of something. Islamophobia, in the sense that people have an irrational fear of Islam. That why we dress differently, culturally we're different, our values are different, ideologically we're different. An irrational fear. People fear the unknown. They don't understand. They don't know what we as Muslims, and other than what they've received in the media about the attacks, etc. That's all they've heard for many people. That's all they've witnessed. Even some of my new Muslims. Well, my first one that I had, he was from London. He accepted in COVID. And when we were talking, he said that other than prior to accepting Islam, the only exposure he had was the media and terrorism. That's all he had heard about Islam. Nothing else. It was just one day that he was walking and he came across a da'wah stall and they gave him a Quran. They gave him a translation. And during COVID, he was struggling. He had anxiety, depression, and a few other things. Because of which he began searching for faith. That, you know, how is there a higher power? Is there an authority? He looked at different faiths and he found that the Quran was the only book, was the only thing that actually related to him. That he could look and he would find the Quran resonating and connecting to him. And eventually accepted Islam. And one aspect of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and because of the month of Safar, the migration began. The hijrah from Mecca to Medina began in Safar, the month of Safar. And our calendar, our lunar Islamic calendar, is marked by migration, is marked by hijrah. And that shows that our calendar is marked, it begins, it's inaugurated by a movement, by a decision. Something that transformed the Islamic civilization. That the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they left Mecca before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for a few sahaba, the majority had left. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left, there was no support in Mecca. They needed change, they required change. Medina, there was minimal support, but it was a better, well, Yathrib at that time, it had better support. But they had no army. So if you want a civilization, you want to establish something, you need an economy. They had no business there. Yathrib wasn't known for its business. So there was no economy there. They had no army, so they had no support. However, they had Aus and Khazraj and certain tribes there that were willing to support them. So they had minimal support. In this situation, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Mecca and migrated to Medina, it was purely on tawakkul, reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there was minimal support, but they had no economy, they had no army. There was nothing there in Medina. Yet despite that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, took the endeavor leaving from Mecca to Medina, and it transformed Islamic civilization. Change began in Medina. Change began. People accepting Islam began in Medina. Exponential growth occurred in Medina. But the aspect of tawakkul, yes, there was some support there in Medina to make the decision of migrating from Mecca to Medina. The command was there also. And as they migrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, purely on tawakkul, left from Mecca to Medina. When he then reached Medina, the interfaith, the work within different communities and building relations began. That when you have your neighbors, you build that relation with them. If you don't, again, that fear of the unknown, it increases. People don't know you. They see you dressing differently. They see you with different beliefs. They deem you a threat in society. You're deemed a threat. You know, when you engage with people, when you have those conversations, people begin to accept you. You know, in universities, it's less ideological and it's more ideas. Meaning in universities, it's exploration of ideas. You explore ideas. That's why you find the universities are the most liberal places. That you explore ideas. People are exposed to that, it induces receptivity. When people don't, and they're closed off, and you find that the more you know the countryside you go to, people, when they look at you, you're different, you'll be stared at. That you're a different people, and you feel out of place. It's just how it is. That the fear of it's the unknown. People haven't seen you, they've not embraced that. When we intermingle, when we embrace and we talk to others, we express our faith, it induces receptivity. The unknown, the ignorance decreases. Islamophobia naturally decreases. We're not going to say it'll remove altogether. It's existed. Like Rasulullah sallallahu, as mentioned before, that Abu Lahab was there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exuding the best, displayed the best characteristics. Despite that, what did they have to endure? What did they have to persevere through? Just like that, we go through, we've seen across in the last week or so, after the events, the horrific events in Southport and the riots that we witnessed, what can we do? I want to mention two things that we can do. One of them, I'm going to break down into two. Two things, I'm going to finish on this. Two things that we need, what we can do is, number one, embrace our faith. People out there are not going to read the Quran and Sunnah. They're going to read you and I. They're not going to read the Quran and Sunnah, they're going to read you and I. Our actions are what's going to define their understanding of Islam. So we need to embrace and uphold our identity. And we say embrace our identity, meaning the spiritual aspect, one, of our istighfar. In these times, istighfar, one hadith mentions that it creates an escape in every escape for every difficulty. Meaning it dispels distress, doing istighfar. Our salah, connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the matters are in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our situation easy for us, connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second part of embracing our faith is to imbue and exude, display our characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al hasana." That call and invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom. Wal maw'idati al hasana, and good advice. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, and argue or discuss in the best manner possible. Discussions are part of society. You need to discuss. You have your neighbors, you have your workplace. Talk to people. Create that receptivity. People fear the unknown. create that receptivity, talk about our beliefs, you know, talk about, engage in those discussions. Those are two things. Number one, embracing our faith in there, two things. Number one, connecting to ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our situation eases. In every situation, we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our du'as, our istighfar, our salah. Make sure we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, as the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they left Makkah, going through uncharted waters. There was the unknown, fear of the unknown. They didn't know what's going to happen. They had little support in Medina, but no economy, no business. They never had no army, no support. Despite that, they left from Mecca to Medina with tawakkul. In our situation, going forth, uncharted waters that we've seen, whatever riots, whatever's been taking place, alhamdulillah, it's not being bad over here. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we do shukr. We are grateful for this. But we go forward embracing tawakkul. Tawakkul meaning that reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our situation is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to do our best means. We're going to embrace our faith. We're going to talk to others about our religion, whether it's workplace, our neighbors. We're going to embrace our mannerisms, our akhlaq, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Show them the beauty of Islam. That's what we're going to do. Kill them with kindness. Show the beauty of Islam. And inshallah, through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases our situation. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.